Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. With available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Welcome to the Early Wedge presented by BetMGM. I am your host, Eric Cohen, a.k.a. EC. Make sure to like this video, and if you're not already, what are you doing? Subscribe to the Sportsline YouTube page for this content and many other great shows, including a new one coming up Friday, which I'll tell you about later in the program. But let's bring in the stars of the show, because with my picks, I'm certainly not it. We have the host of the Early Edge and one of the great golf cappers in the world. That is one C. Najad. And we have one of the great golf minds in the world who, I think, if I'm correct, did you have Keith Mitchell last week, Patrick?
No, I faded Keith Mitchell, actually.
Okay, that was good. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you faded him. Yeah. That was something on Sunday. And I don't know, like, we were talking about this before the show. I don't know how you bet Keith Mitchell to win anytime soon after watching that collapse. Are you with me?
You know, it happens. It's tough to win on the PGA Tour once you get rolling the wrong way. It can spiral, especially at a course like the Copperhead. So, you know, I wasn't on him personally, so I don't have that vendetta against him. And I know you're someone who holds grudges.
Yes, I am.
So for you, perhaps, but for me, not really.
All right. So see ya. I mean, Keith Mitchell was plus 185 going into the last round, had a 2-shot lead, feeling pretty good. Of course, I went and added him to some Sunday tickets that I had. So if you're me, like, do you hold vendettas like I do after watching a guy completely melt down as Keith Mitchell did on Sunday?
I wish you had contacted me, because I was not thinking Keith Mitchell was going to hold on to that lead. I mean, what he did on the final three holes in the snake pit on Saturday, I just, you know, anytime something like that happens, I'm waiting for the fall. And in Keith Mitchell's case, it happens so early and often. I got to be honest, though, I'm kind of triggered by that tournament, because we had Cameron Young, right? I had plus 2,500. Yeah. And he went into the final hole, because I was looking to potentially live bet Malnati, because he was like plus a pretty big number. He went into that final hole at minus 400 to win the tournament. And Peter Malnati, I believe at the time, was plus 330. And then the course of events happened where Cameron Young, of course, put it in the woods. But then the relief on 17 that Malnati got, it all of a sudden the odds froze. They were off the board. And then all of a sudden Malnati was like a minus 300 favorite. It was such a ridiculous turn of events, like two things that happened at the same time that completely flipped the tournament. I was like mentally in anguish in that moment.
Yeah, it feels like the 2022 PGA Championship in a way. I mean, not quite as dramatic, where Mito Pereira goes to the 18th tee. What was he? I think he was, what, one up, Patrick? Is that right? And then he double bogeyed and missed the playoff. Is that, if my memory serves me correctly?
That sounds correct.
Yeah. So that's why when that happens, that you're added to the banned list. And that's why Cameron Young is somebody that is on my no bet list. But let's talk about this week's storylines for the Houston Open. All right, Patrick, you've said this storyline. I think this is, what, two out of the last three weeks. All right. What do you got with Scotty?
Yeah, Scottie Scheffler is going to win again, unfortunately, for all of us. He's around 3-1. He's gotten shorter at some books. So that implies, what, a 25% chance that this guy's going to win. And look, honestly, you give this guy four tries at this tournament, I think he probably wins once, maybe even 1 point, whatever that is. So I don't think the odds are that off. I think they're pretty fair, to tell you the truth. And just to give you some context for how good Scottie Scheffler has been, the gap between him and Sahith Theegala, who ranks third in total strokes gained this year, is the same gap between Theegala and Nate Lashley, who is averaging about 0.3 strokes per round. Scottie Scheffler's at 3.23. A little more color for you. Over the last 12 months, Scottie Scheffler is number one in the world in strokes gained tee to green. Colin Morikawa's number five. Scottie Scheffler has doubled Colin Morikawa's total from tee to green over the last 12 months. So, yeah, I think it's Scottie's to lose, obviously, and I think he's gonna get it done again. And we're just all along for the ride.
We're what, 5 minutes into the show, and you already told us what's gonna happen? We're not even waiting till the end of the show for our
outright alert.
That's yeah, all, but, folks.
But wait, Sia's got that. I think I'm on Sia's train here. And what's your storyline?
Well, I mean, listen, this is a weird tournament. I think there's a couple of different options that I wouldn't normally entertain. One is to scale back the outright card. Listen, you can make money. We do it week to week. We try to, at least in the head-to-head matchups department, tournament matchups, round matchups, of course. You know, sometimes finishing positions go well. They actually went well for me last week, hitting 2 out of 3, including the plus 220 on Andrew Novak. But long story short, like, I don't think I'm going to be investing as much in the outright market. And to the extent you do, I really think you're probably, and I know you might touch on this, EC, you probably want to do it in the winner without Scheffler market. Most of the major books have that market available. There's only one that I can see right now that doesn't have it available. And I think that's the way to go. Of course, you're going to get reduced odds on some of these like heavy hitters, like, you know, Sahith Theegala, like, or Wyndham Clark. You know, instead of 20 to 1, it might be, you know, 16 to 1, or instead of 14 to 1, it might be 10 to 1. But honestly, with this tournament, the way Scottie Scheffler's been playing and his success here and the fact that he's such a good course fit, I'd consider both of those things, scaling back the outright market, but then also considering the winner without Scottie market.
Yeah, I just don't think I cannot bet Scottie Scheffler at plus 275 or thereabouts to win a golf tournament. There's 4 days and so many things that can happen. Now, everything Patrick said is 100% spot on, and Scottie Scheffler is probably going to win. So my storyline is very simple. What's the best way to bet outrights in this tournament, with or without Scheffler? I think, to me, it's you got to avoid Scottie. Now, there's one book that has a no Scottie, Wyndham, Finau, or Zalatoris market, and it's really not that different than the without Scottie. I mean, you can get Theegala, I think, at plus 1,200 in that one, and plus 1,400 without Scheffler. So, I mean, still, there's value there. But I don't think you can play traditional outrights this week. Patrick, now hearing that, see as in my logic, are you against playing normal outrights? Or are you like, all right, I'm going to take my shot later in the show?
I'm taking my shot, right? I mean, he only takes up 25% of the win equity, so to speak. So there's still plenty of that out there. And you just got to hope that Scottie Scheffler is just a little off and he might be looking towards the Masters a little bit.
Well, one area where you can attack things this week, and maybe it's not betting in the outright market, but it's in the DFS market. And what's interesting, Sia, I'll start with you. If I remember, this tournament, the Houston Open, was played in November 2022. And the winner of that tournament was one Tony Finau, who is on my, I believe, no bet list. I think that we'll see once again later in the show. But you were fading him for DFS purposes. Why?
Yeah, not super interested in Tony Finau. I mean, the ball striking hasn't been there. Obviously, we know he has the short game, or I should say the putting difficulties. From a game theory standpoint, even though he's the former champ or last year's champ, he's not getting a ton of ownership. So again, from a game theory standpoint, maybe you want to play a little bit of Tony Finau. I'm just out on Tony Finau. I think there's a lot of different game theory angles you can play here, which might mean you don't play Scottie Scheffler. Maybe it means you don't play Wyndham Clark. Maybe it means you start your lineup at Jason Day and you just have like super low ownership percentage. I think there's a lot of angles here, but I'm just not interested in playing a Tony Finau that seems completely off. Yes, he's a good course fit. Yes, he's won here, last year, the last time they played at Memorial Park, but the game just doesn't look right. So I'm out on Tony Finau. I'm in on Jason Day. This is a guy I don't normally tout in any market, really. But again, I'm thinking game theory here, and I'm thinking Jason Day, of the top 5 to 10 guys, he's a guy that's not getting a ton of attention from an ownership standpoint. Don't forget, DFS is a game. It's not about like what we see in the betting market necessarily, where we just like a guy to top 20 or to win or in a head-to-head matchup. We're playing the ownership game in DFS as well. And Jason Day, he hasn't been striking it super well, especially on approach. But I do think that game could come back to him, and the short game is there for him. The off the tee game, he's pretty long. I'm looking at driving distance to a large degree. So just from a game theory standpoint, I think you can play Jason Day, and you can go ahead if you want and take the chalk with Scottie Scheffler. And you're still going to have a ton of money left over because we have this 5,000 range and a 6,000 range that's really rich with some guys that you might want to play in this tournament. So there's really no cost issue in this tournament, which is probably why Scottie Scheffler is going to be 40%+ owned, because you can play him and you can play so many other guys. You could even play Scotty and Wyndham Clark if you want and still have a decent lineup. I just want to point that out. So that's actually also a reason to fade Scottie Scheffler, again, from a game theory standpoint. Other two guys, I'll be real quick because we're going to touch on these guys later too. Kurt Kitayama at 8,100. I think his game is very fit for this course. Love the short game. Love the driving distance. We'll see what the ball striking overall looks like for Kurt Kitayama, particularly on approach, but I think he's a great course fit. And Joseph Bramlett in the 6,600 range, not getting as much attention from an ownership standpoint as I thought he would, but maybe that'll pick up over the next day and a half. But Bramlett actually has been playing pretty well. He's a really good course fit for this course. Hits it a long way too. I think 6,600 is a nice price.
All right, fair enough. You're going to the bargain bin. That's where Patrick McDonald usually lies. But I'm going to start here because he's fading a golfer that I actually really like this week in Tom Hoge. Now, Patrick, Tom Hoge is one of the best iron players in the world and really doesn't get a lot of credit for it. I mean, if you look at strokes gained approach, been really good. Why are you fading him at 9,000, which seems like a decent price?
Yeah, I think at nine, I'd rather just play the guys around him. I mean, he's not going to be one of these guys who draws a ton of ownership, probably around 10%. But I'm not a huge Hoge guy on big ballparks. I like him where you can kind of bunt it off the tee and let that iron play shine, like you said. So I'm okay passing up on Hoge at 9,000. I won't have any FOMO or anything like that. Kind of just going to bypass him. But the players who I will play, Taylor Moore, getting sucked into this one again, 7,600. Nice final round there to kind of backdoor that top 15 last week. I believe it was 566. Iron play looks fantastic. Plenty long off the tee. Around the green game looks good too. So I love what I'm seeing out of the guy. And then Akshay Bhatia at 7,500. What he can do on these bigger ballparks is kind of drawing me in. He had a nice top 20 last week, but played well at the Farmers Insurance Open. Torrey Pines played well at the Century. He was in the final group there on Sunday before imploding. So Akshay at 7,500. And then Carson Young, 6,200. Guy just makes cuts, six out of the last seven. Nice start there at the Mexico Open, T8. You think about a big ballpark, a place where, Tony Finau has played well in the past as well. So I'm going to give him a try at 6,200.
Look at you integrating baseball into our golf references this week with it being opening day on Thursday. I like how you just compared your DFS picks to baseball players. Hey, listen, you never know what you're going to get on the early wedge, but I love the comparison. Now, one thing that I don't think we've hit one of these yet this year, and we're all going to get involved in this, especially for the Masters. But Sia, you have some picks as per usual for FRLs, and your first one is a guy that he burned us the other week, but I mean, I said I was going to bet him in some capacity in every tournament that he plays in. So, hey, I'm all over this Will Zalatoris at plus 3,500.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly burned us at the Players, but I think he's a great course fit, and we're a couple of weeks removed from the Players. I think he's going to shake that off pretty easy. At plus 3,500, I'm kind of looking for the bounce back. I don't know if he's going to win this tournament, but I'm certainly looking for the bounce back for Will Zalatoris at plus 3,500. Steven Yeager at plus 5,500. Listen, Yeager hasn't been striking it as well as I'd like him to, but he does have the all-around game, and he does have really good course history here as well. I think he's a really sneaky option in the outright market, in the head-to-head market, really in any market. So at plus 5,500 to be first-round leader, and we've seen him, by the way, he's not a winner in terms of like winning over four rounds, right? And I'm not trying to be disrespectful. He's just not necessarily that guy. But in terms of a first-round leader, he has been that guy before, or at least he's spiked in the first round. Luke List at 70-1. You know, Luke List is one of those guys that he can just really pop up at any given moment. And this is the type of course where Luke List certainly can pop up, potentially with a win, but really more as a first round leader. We know he's a great ball striker. The putting has improved a little bit. And if he can get away from the around the green game for one round, he could absolutely pop as a first round leader. Joel Dahman is a guy that I don't know what to say other than the last two tournaments, the ball striking has been so incredible that it's really hard for me to ignore him at 70-1 to be the winner after 18 holes. I don't think he can win this tournament, especially a tournament that Scottie Scheffler is in. I don't think he's necessarily going to be in the top five, but he is hitting it so well from a ball striking standpoint. He seems to be kind of locked in. I don't know exactly what it is, but 70-1 to be your first round leader, I'm in on that. And Andrew Novak, we hit him top 30 at plus 220 last week on this show. He's just a really good player, and I just don't think people are noticing. He's very popular in DFS, by the way. He's very inexpensive. He's very popular. The only reason he wasn't on my DFS list is because he was so popular. I'll play him a little bit, but I may as well go to some pivots and put those out there. But Andrew Novak is striking it really well. The finishing positions are great. He had one slip up over his last four tournaments. Otherwise, he has been completely locked in. Wouldn't surprise me at all if he's a first round leader.
There is plenty of synergy between my finishing position bets and this list. I will just tease that. But coming up next in our next segment, there's a word that I have never used in my life that will be uttered during this matchup section. Get ready. But first, let's hear from one of our sponsors.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. Now, Patrick, you have one matchup, and I have said that all five words, I think, in that matchup before. So that's the tease. Tell us why you like C is in the Stephen Jaeger fan club, but I guess you are this week as well.
Stefan Jaeger. Yes, the German. Minus 110. I'm picking him over Jake Knapp, founder of the Napster. Shout out to Sean Parker of Herndon, Virginia. See ya. I know that's your neck of the woods as well. I'm going Jaeger. Hopefully you got that connection. Not many will. I'm going Jaeger, though, because I think he just has a higher floor than Knapp at the moment. You look at where they've played well. It's the same golf courses, Mexico, Farmers Insurance Open. But Jaeger's coming off an off week, which I think is huge. He had one of the longest made cut streaks on the PGA Tour that just recently came to an end. I think he's going to get back on the wagon this week, has a great history here. The driver's much improved compared to those starts as well. So I'm going to go with Jaeger minus 110 over Knapp.
Normally the transition would be to go to Sia with Stephen Jaeger over Olesen and Cam Davis, as he'll explain. But what is an Oceania? Because that is something that I have never used before. Normally it's like top Australian. Where did we come up with this term, and what does it mean, and how did you find it?
So first of all, David Bielewski in the chat, he says, Patrick obviously watched The Social Network one time, which is hilarious. Everybody knows Patrick's watched it at least two times, but it's funny mm-hmm. that he put in a comment, because David is from New Zealand. I know that. I work with David. He does a lot of golf content.
Excellent.
And yep. Oceania is Australia and New Zealand, effectively. It's actually a lot of other islands, too. But instead of just having top Australian, they're basically encompassing New Zealand in there as well. It's basically, you know, next door neighbor to Australia. So I guess I'll start there. I have Jason Day as a top Oceania, and he's going against basically, you know, a lot of Australians and lot, not like a lot of Australians. I'm saying the lot of Australians. It's Cameron Davis. It's Aaron Baddeley. It's Ryan Fox. It's Harrison Endicott and Rain Gibson. A couple of those guys, I think, could do well in this tournament because they're good course fits, but their game has been so bad lately that I'm willing to just rest on Jason Day's game. And it's Ryan Fox and Cameron Davis that I think are good course fits, but that are in atrocious form right now. So effectively, all I'm doing is fading those guys by taking this play. Aaron Baddeley has started to play really well, but I don't think he's the caliber of Jason Day. And the other two guys, Harrison Endicott and Rain Gibson, I honestly just don't think they're going to make the cut. Frankly, all five of these guys could miss the cut, and Jason Day could make the cut, and we win the bet on Friday afternoon. But so that's my nationality play. I also have Steven Yeager in a three ball tournament plus 145 over Thorbjørn Olsen and Cam Davis. Again, you see a theme here with Cam Davis. While he is a good course fit, the game is all over the place. It's really bad right now, and he could pick it up a little bit in this tournament because he is a good course fit, but I don't think it's enough to surpass Steven Yeager or in the case of Jason Day. So Olsen's an interesting case study, you know, on the Euro Tour. Pretty good approach play, pretty good, but the long and short of it is it hasn't really translated over to the PGA Tour. And for the record, he's also a pretty short hitter. And so I just don't think he's going to have any advantages in particular over Steven Yeager or Stefan Yeager, because it's certainly spelled that way. Everybody calls him Steven, so I'm going to call him Steven. Maybe I'm wrong there. So I like that three ball. Again, that's a tournament three ball. Most of my three balls are round matchups. This is a tournament three ball. The other two, Kurt Kitayama plus 100 over Keith Mitchell. I don't think we see a bounce back from Sunday with Keith Mitchell. I think he's going to be potentially okay for a couple of rounds, but the around the green play, the short game really worries me with Keith Mitchell, and it doesn't worry me at all with Kurt Kitayama. So I actually think Kurt Kitayama has a lot of potential in this tournament. I like him at even money over Keith Mitchell. And then finally, Tony Finau. Let's find ways to fade Tony Finau. I just don't like the state of the game, and I love what Siwoo Kim has been doing. So I'll take Siwoo Kim minus 110 over the defending champion.
All right. I like that as well. I'm not big on Finau this week, but I am going to play the my matchup, Sahith Theegala over Jason Day. I'm not big on, I mean, I know you guys like him. Minus 125, you can find this one, bet 365. All three of Day's top 10s this year have come at the elevated smaller events. In the other four events that he's played in with a full field, no top 30s. Just pointing that out. Theegala, it's home game for him. He's a Houston resident. Top 10s in three of his last four, and I'm getting a reasonable price at minus 125. Sign me up for that. All right. Then I love this one. Patrick, I don't know if you want any of this action here. It's plus money for me. Tom Hoagie over Alex Noren. Noren was solid in Florida. I had T9 and T19, but no other top 20s this season. Did have a T4 here in 2022, but I can't fade an elite iron player in Hoagie against a guy who's never won on the PGA Tour. I mean, and I'll explain why I like Hoagie a little bit later on with that iron play. It's just, it's so good. And I'm getting plus money. So, Patrick, I don't know if you're interested because you were fading him, but just inquiring minds want to know.
I'm good, EC.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to ask.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. I'm trying to recoup some of that money that I lost. Still bitter about my Scottie Scheffler, why I included him on my no bet list. That was very, very foolish. But the rest of the list has proven to be very, you know, solid thus far. All right. Time for finishing positions. I'll be honest. Last week, Sia did great. I got smashed in this particular column. I normally had done pretty well lately. It was not a good week for me. So, Sia, you have the floor here. Where are you going this week? As far as actually, you and I agree on a couple of them, or on one of them especially. You're going back to one of the guys in your fan club, Andrew Novak.
Yeah, Andrew Novak fan club sits right here. T40 at plus 120. Like, I feel like I'm playing it relatively safe. Remember last week I had Andrew Novak T30 and we were getting plus 220 there. So I really like this number on him. And listen, he's not a super long hitter either, but he's not super short. I just want to point that out because driving distance really will come into play in this tournament, in my opinion. But again, at plus 120, the way he's been playing, I think this is a bet where you could ladder it, where you could put let's say you're betting a full unit, which again, in finishing positions, I don't necessarily recommend. So let's say you're putting a half a unit on Andrew Novak at plus 120. Maybe you put like 0.2 units on the top 30 play and 0.1 units on the top 20 play and just see where you go. Even if you lose the top 30 and top 20 and you cash the top 40, you're still coming out ahead. So just something to think about with some of these players that are kind of unknown. So their odds are pretty long, but they certainly have some upside. I think Joseph Bramlett is one of those guys as well. We're not really recognizing Joseph Bramlett yet because he hasn't done it on any consistent basis, but the game does seem to be emerging for him. T40 at plus 115, again, a very long hitter, seems to be a little bit more dialed in now than in recent history. And I think that's partly because he had an injury that he was contending with over the last year, something that I didn't know about until recently. So maybe that's cause for the emergence. Kurt Kitayama, T30, another plus money play. I honestly think Kurt Kitayama has an outside shot to win this tournament. And just let me be very clear. I said outside shot. So I'm not, you know, saying anything like, hey, he's a legit top five on Sunday. But Kurt Kitayama, I just think, is a great course fit here, plus 110. And then Sahith, T20. Like, I don't want to bet Sahith in the outright market, really. I do think he can win, but I feel way more comfortable with his game and his course fit in the T20 market at even money. I've got four plays in the finishing position market, all at even money or better. And Sahith is certainly one of my favorites because he can really explode in a good way at any given moment. And because he sprays it a little bit, because the rough is not very penal at Memorial Park, he should be fine. And I love what he can do with a short game sometimes. Give me the T20.
All right, before I get into my picks here, Patrick, I'm going to ask you a question. If you were to name, outside of Scottie Scheffler, the next two best iron players in the world right now, who are they?
I just had this on my screen. It's going to be Xander Schauffele.
Okay. In your opinion, I'm saying. In your opinion.
Oh, in my opinion?
Yeah.
Best iron players in the world, based on opinions.
Yeah, we know Scottie's going to be one. Yeah, I would put Tom Hoagie would be towards the top of my list, of course. Just want
okay.
to point that out.
Yeah, Scottie Scheffler is one by margin. Okay. Xander Schauffele, I'd put him up there. And then, I don't know, to tell you the
truth.
I
think you're missing one. I got his name on the screen right there. Will Zalatoris.
I don't think he's there quite yet.
You don't think so? See, I'm thinking that Will Zalatoris is arguably the second best iron player on tour at the moment. Colin Morikawa would be up there. Xander would be up there. I think you can make an argument this season for Zalatoris. He's gained strokes on approach in all six events that he has played in. Now, we know the driver and the putter they can be an issue, especially that weird, like, long putter deal going on, the Adam Scott formula there. But as a top 20, similar to what Sia did with Sahith, yeah, I'm good with that at even money at BetMGM. Sounds good to me. Joel Damon, I like a lot. Sia talked about him in his FRLs. I'm playing a little ladder action here in a way. Top 20, plus 250, top 40 at plus 105. T5 and T9 in two appearances here, and he's gained more than 15 strokes ball striking combined in those two events. In the last 2 weeks, gained more than 9 strokes ball striking. You alluded to this, Sia, en route to a T11 and T49. Now, the reason he had a T49 is because he was absolutely miserable around and on the greens last week at the Valspar. If he performs to field average, yeah, we should probably hit this. His long game right now has been outstanding. And then, you know, the Sia fan club, Andrew Novak, top 40, plus 120. I'm copying that play there. He's missed his first three cuts in 2024. Since then, he went T8, T8, T9, a missed cut, and T17 last week. Just cashing tickets left and right. I got to get on board the train here. So let's do it. He has gained strokes combined and on the greens, on and around the greens in his last six. Pretty darn good. Now, the one place that you want to bet these is at BetMGM because they pay out ties. They're the only sports book that fully pays out ties on these finishing positions. And that's very important this week, especially if you play the not Scottie Scheffler market, which you can also bet at BetMGM. If you are not a BetMGM customer, it's time. New BetMGM customers can sign up today and get up to $1,500 in bonus bets. Just place your first wager of at least $10 and you'll receive up to $1,500 instantly if your bet loses with bonus code EDGE. That's E-D-G-E, EDGE. All right, coming up next, it's time for my, auto fade graphic. But before that, let's hear from one of our sponsors.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, Sia, you know I'm going to ask you about it. It's the Sweet 16. You can see it on CBS this week. And one of the teams that's playing, actually the first game on Thursday that we're all excited for, is my alma mater, the University of Arizona, a team that you, I believe, were fading. Do you still feel that way? Oh, Patrick.
Is that how you do it? Is that how you do it?
No, we do Wildcats.
Oh, sorry.
The C, yeah. So there you go. Much better.
Very cool.
Yeah, how do you feel about my Wildcats now?
Yeah, you see, your way was way cooler. How do I feel about the Wildcats? Well, understand that in my main brackets, I have the Wildcats going. I mean, I had a couple where I had them losing to Baylor, but the other two or three, I had them losing to North Carolina. I mean, it's been a pretty easy, like, they're just kind of cruising to yep. easy victories so far. And what is it? Clemson, a pretty nice matchup for them, 7.5-point spread. I expect them to win that game, although I've been underrating Clemson apparently the last two games because they burned me. Listen, I think this is inevitable. I think we're going to see North Carolina beat Alabama. We're going to see Arizona prevail over Clemson, and that's going to be the game. Whoever wins that's likely going to play UConn. I have an outright ticket on North Carolina that I put in like 2.5 months ago at 40-1. So I'm going to be a big North Carolina fan if and when they play Arizona. I mean, I guess credit to Arizona, but in my opinion, no offense, they haven't done anything yet.
If they
beat Clemson handily, I'll be a little impressed. And then if they beat North Carolina, then I'm like, all right, well, here we go. The question becomes for you, if that happens, it's celebration worthy, but can they actually beat UConn? I actually think the answer is no, but we'll find out.
Probably not. I mean, you never know. It would be a home game, and I would be there at the Final Four. It's in my backyard here. Cool. Let us hope. Patrick, you're a South Carolina guy, though. Don't you live down on the East Coast over there?
Yeah, I'm in Charleston, South Carolina. The Cougars lost their first-round matchup against the Crimson Tide, but my picks are doing pretty well. Also, I was telling you guys before this, I pick strictly on geography. For the most part, there's some feel also, but I picked the more Eastern team. There's been some mistakes on my end thinking, oh, Oakland's in California. Oh, let me pick Kentucky. Newsflash, it's not. So that was a smash play based on geography, but it was closer in actuality. But you think about teams like NC State. There's a mix-up with Mississippi State and Michigan State, a lot closer on the map than you would think. A lot closer. So I got that one wrong. But overall, I think 7 out of 8 into the Elite Eight. I still have alive. Samford. I had them going far for some reason. But,
Hey, listen, they played a good game against Kansas. All right. We're fading your South Carolina. Clemson, obviously, in your state where you reside.
Oh, that's fine.
Arizona.
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Good. You're good with that? Okay. Good. Bear down. That's all I have to say. All right. It's time for it's time for outrights. And let's go to my graphic here because we have some new additions this week. We're adding Justin Thomas after what he did on Saturday. When you're tied for the lead and then you shoot 8 over, you get banned to this list. Keith Mitchell that should be permanent. You cannot bet Keith Mitchell after what we saw on Sunday. Sia gave his logic for why I should have probably not done that. But after seeing, I think Jake and Patrick could have gone out there on tour and beaten what Keith Mitchell did on Sunday. You guys are pretty good golfers. You're single digit handicaps. I mean, that was pretty bad. So, we're fading those two guys. And listen, I don't think Finau, we've talked about him. Cam Young, after what you saw from him, Sia, you can't argue with that. Sahith is one. You know what? We might want to put a line through that one because I'm going against my own logic this week. Sahith, I'm gaining some faith in you. So my auto fade list, I'm actually going against it this week. Well, in a way, I'll explain that. But Patrick, you're going to start. You think Scotty Scheffler is going to win, but you're still playing the regular outright market.
Yeah, I mean, there's 70%, 75% of the win equity still out there. So you got to gobble it up somehow. So Sahith Theegala, I think, has a great chance at winning this week. It is an even better pick knowing it's on the auto fade list of EC. So give me him at 22-1. He's been fantastic this year, coming off back-to-back top tens. And if you want to talk about geography, Japan, saying my college basketball picks ain't it. Just wait until all the East Coast teams win this weekend. Sahith Theegala, Houston boy, home game models, off the chart. Come on, great golf course for him, great fit. He's playing great. Don't overthink it. Siwoo Kim, 30-1. Same deal, fine around 64 there at TPC Sawgrass. Really doesn't seem to have a hole in his tee to green game. The putter, he might be switching models like every week, it seems like. But if he can just be, you know, slightly above average, I really like his chances to contend. And then Kurt Kitayama, for all the reasons that Sia said. Does he have a great chance? No, but I do believe he does have a chance. And the iron ball striking has been great. He's a long driver off the tee, good on these open ballparks. So 55-1, I'm willing to take a stab with Kurt as well.
On the next episode of Early Wedge, we're going to compare golf courses to ballparks. No, we'll do that down the road, but some point it would be kind of fun to feel, you know, what is your Wrigley Field of golf course? What is your Fenway Park? Do you have a list of this, Patrick, or no?
Fenway's probably St. Andrews, right? It's old. It has a lot of history, mm-hmm. a lot of reverence, but like it's kind of beaten down. Is it really that nice once you get there? If you say something mean about it, people probably get mad. So that's the one that really comes top of.
What
top
about
of
Wrigley and Pebble Beach? A lot of wind going on there. You know, wind can affect it significantly. Older core. I'm just throwing that one out there.
Maybe. Sure, that's a good one. I'll take it.
Any suggestions, throw them in the chat. We'll read them a little bit later. See, you're going a hybrid between Patrick and I. Let's hear, why do you like Wyndham and Kurt?
And I like Wyndham and Kirk. I might add one to my card here. I put out the Sportsline article, and that'll probably come out late tonight, if not very early tomorrow morning. It's very likely I add a third person to the mix. I kind of wanted to be reserved because of the Scotty Scheffler factor and because the without Scotty market isn't technically everywhere, but it really is at most places. Mm-hmm. I just want to point out, if I add one, it's probably going to be either Siwoo Kim, Sahith Theegala, or Will Zalatoris. Not all three, literally one of those three. I just haven't made that determination. Wyndham Clark, I think, is interesting because I know he just won and it wasn't necessarily like big game hunting in terms of the type of tournament, but he does strike me as a guy that might not take this tournament as seriously, kind of gearing up for the Masters. But what I think is sort of counter to that argument is that he's finished second place twice in a row at the Players and at the API to a guy that's actually in this tournament, Scotty Scheffler. I do think Wyndham Clark works on motivation more than some of these other golfers. So it does strike me as maybe a good opportunity to put himself ahead of Scotty Scheffler and actually take down a tournament going into the Masters. It's kind of a little ride down narrative street. I don't really need a narrative, right? Wyndham Clark's been striking it really well. The short game is really good historically with Wyndham Clark. So he absolutely could be the winner of this course, you know, regardless. But I do like Wyndham Clark at 14-1, 11-1 without Scotty. And then again, Kurt Kitayama, we've already talked about him. Without Scotty, his odds are around 40-1. With Scotty, 55-1. And again, I'll probably add one more. I just haven't decided who it is yet.
I don't have that kind of courage that either of you have, clearly. So I'm going with the without Scheffler market here, going Sahith at plus 1,400. Home game this week, as I mentioned earlier, top 10s in three of his last four, as I mentioned. That putter is red hot right now, so I like that. Not to win, because I think Scotty's going to win, but I like him at plus 1,400 in this particular market. Siwoo Kim has been discussed. I like him as well this week. Gained strokes with the driver in 21 of his last 22 shot link measured events. Had a top 10 at the Players. The putter, I think, Patrick, you mentioned this, putter not so good. He needs to try something different, work for Scotty. Siwoo needs to really try something different. Maybe he needs to do the long putter, bring out his driver again like he did at the Masters, or what was that, his three wood? He should probably give that a whirl because it's not working out with the flat stick. And Hoagie, I mean, he's gained strokes on approach in his last 13 tournaments. In his last six, get this, gained more than 33 shots combined on approach with those irons. Two top 10s and four top 20s in those six tournaments. He's putting pretty well at plus 3,500 without Scottie Scheffler involved. Yeah, I'm okay with that. So we'll take a shot with that. But now let's see what you guys have when it comes to long shots. And Sia, I'm going to start with you because that's the pick I was going to put in there. But you know, I'm too busy making parlays than to go outrights. And I actually love what you did here with your pick.
Yeah, my long shot outright. I guess I do technically have a third outright here because it's a long shot. It's Joel Damon at plus 8,000. I was between him and Luke List at plus 8,000, full disclosure, because I do think Luke List profiles pretty well for this tournament. But again, it's so hard for me to, and for the record, while Luke List profiles pretty well, like the ball striking isn't exactly where I want it to be with him. Whereas with Joel Damon, it's like out of control. And again, it could fall off. It could completely fall off a cliff coming into Memorial Park here. Like, I don't know exactly what's going on with this game, but it's really hard for me to ignore 80-1 or in some markets, 75-1, Joel Damon, knowing how well he's striking the ball. And again, if you want to take Joel Damon without Scottie Scheffler, like, I actually haven't looked at what those odds are, but I'm guessing ballpark, they're somewhere in the 65-70-1 range, which, by the way, it's not a bad payout, right? So it's something to consider. The way his game is, I'm willing to throw a few bucks on a guy that is absolutely killing it with the ball striking.
All right, Patrick, Taylor Moore, we saw him win last year at the Valspar, and has he done a lot since? I mean, I think I picked him somewhere the other week, and he didn't do much for me. Why are you on him at 80-1 here?
See, I love your pick, Patrick. What the hell are you doing picking Taylor Moore? Look, he's been very consistent. Hasn't missed a cut this year. Super well-rounded. I think he's just waiting to peak almost. Not waiting, but he's on the verge of peaking, it seems like. And I think that final round there at the Valspar Championship, 5-under-66, is the start of something really good. So I love his skill set in general. And I think 80-1 is the number we bet him at last week. Why not? Let's try it again.
You know what? You are the only one that has, I believe, picked a winner on this program this year in Jake Knapp in Mexico. So you know what? Who am I to talk? Especially when my parlays here that I give out have been pretty dreadful lately. But we're going to take a few shots, half a unit each on these. Because, you know, I like the shot. Top 10 parlays, Zalatoris and Thigala. Now you can find these too. On FanDuel, they have tournament specials, so tourney specials. You can find these. They also have similar ones on DK, but the odds are actually better this week for these at FanDuel, especially for this first one. So Zalatoris and Thigala, like that one. Look at this next one. Top 10 parlay, Scheffler, Zalatoris, and Wyndham Clark. So Scheffler and Wyndham Clark have gone 1-2, respectively, in the last two tournaments that they both played in at the Players and before that, the Arnold Palmer. And Zalatoris has two top fours in his last three tournaments. I'm just saying, at 15-1, you can do worse, and they pay out ties on both these bets. So I want to throw that out there. All right, in the chat, Sites 501 gave out a good one. Augusta equals Yankee Stadium, in his opinion. Patrick, if you were to compare a ballpark to Augusta, which would you choose?
PNC Park, Pittsburgh.
Beautiful park.
Best view in the game.
Okay.
Nicest ballpark in America, easily. History is not quite there outside of the Johnny Cueto wildcard game back in a decade or so ago. But based on look, I'd say PNC Park. Based on history, I mean, Yankee Stadium's rather new, isn't it? I'm not a huge baseball guy, but am I wrong?
No, where would you, for Augusta, what would be your first course comp your first ballpark comp that would come to mind? Because that was a good one from Patrick.
Yeah, I mean, it would have to have a lot of history. Are we talking, I mean, Wrigley makes a lot of sense. Boston, it's alluding
to Fenway. Fenway Park.
It would probably be Fenway or Wrigley.
Okay. And I think the Yankee Stadium is good. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Maybe the Astros when they had the little hill. In center field. I mean, that's the glory.
Hill. Yep, yep.
And that's the glory days of baseball right then and there. Shame they got rid of that.
And the flagpole where the center fielder could run head on into it. Of course, that made a lot of sense. Patrick, I want to ask you about this tournament when it comes to prior history here. They played it in November in 2020, 21, and 22, and haven't played here, obviously, at Memorial Park in the spring. Do you pay much attention to the course history that we've seen from these players, or is it a completely different golf course, in your opinion, from November to April?
It is a different April. Golf course. It's going to be softer. Scores are going to be better. Chipping's going to be easier with the overseeds. So I'm not really taking too much into course history or any of that and just looking at general course fit.
See, my dart throw for you here. Now, last week I found a bet after I did the show, and I'm sorry I didn't get it out there. It was total strokes. And we know the Valspar played tough, and they, I believe FanDuel had it at like the winner would go 15 under par and didn't come close. And that was a good hit. The same line this week is 14 and a half under par. Would you say the score would be two? So it's a par 70. So 280 is the par. Would you say over under 265 and a half? You going to take the over or the under?
So you're talking about the winning score being
winning
15
score.
Under or better.
Or less, yeah. Or however you want to phrase that. Yep.
Yeah, I don't exactly know. I know Thursday's a pretty calm day, but I do think the wind's going to pick up over the weekend. And I do think overall, I think it's a challenging course, maybe less challenging this version of it. But I think it'll be shorter than 15 under par. In other words, I think the winner is looking, to me, the winner's looking at like minus 12, minus 13.
Patrick, you agree with that?
I'd push it to, I think it'd be like 15, 16.
Ooh. So what we're saying is don't play that bet this week. our guys disagree. I'm just saying, guys, great show as always. Want to promote something, I guess, because, you know, I'm a part of this. But we're bringing back the Friday trio of Uncle Dave, Proppy, and myself. NFL Draft Preview Series starts this Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. Check that out. You can find the counselor on Early Edge every weekday. He is there. And you can find Patrick on, I believe, First Cut. When are you on this week?
Yeah, First Cut. We had our show 5 o'clock, but we will be on CBS Sports Network next Tuesday at 2 p.m. Little Masters preview for you guys. Might dust out the old tuxedo for that one.
You know what? That is a can't miss, but we'll see you next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern to recap that and talk about the Valero Texas Open. But guys, great show once again, as always. Thanks to producer Jake behind the scenes, does a great job every week. For Patrick McDonald and Sia Najad, I am EC. As I always like to say, let's hit it big. Good luck.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.